B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's tough to sit there and hold your tongue.
Ooh. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Zone.
Mike, what does the phrase Patriot Way mean to you, and do you remember the first time you heard it?
Isn't that the street sign? Isn't that the street the movie theater is on?
Probably.
I don't know. I didn't come up with it, so I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you this. The Titans better be careful because the boogeymen are out to play.
You made a really good point. I want to give you credit for it. None of these three people that they could be facing, if you believe that it's going to be Ravens, Chiefs, and the Titans, none of the coaches are afraid of Bill Belichick. And
nope.
We've seen it a million times before. Teams that just crap themselves either the minute they come to Gillette or the minute they face Bill, and there's this weird fawning. You're not going to get any of that from these three
well,
guys.
Well, I got to tell you, the Rams coach during the Super Bowl really handled himself well.
He covered himself in glory. I mean, that was sad at the beginning of the game. I've always wanted to beat you. I miss your Musk.
If like, have a competitive bone in your body, stupid. After the game, you can say it to him. All right, Paul Kuharsky is the co-host of the Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Thank you for joining us, sir.
I am thrilled to be with you, but I hope you'll also mention that I write at paulkuharsky.com.
Excellent. All right.
Paul Kuharsky. Oh, it's Kuharsky. See,
no, Kuharsky. You
okay,
had it right.
Kuharsky. Okay, good. All right, good. I didn't. The deal with Vrabel is, do you believe it's a factor that Vrabel has been around this organization going into Saturday night?
Well, for the reasons that you were saying, I mean, he's not going to be intimidated by anything or in fear of Bill or Tom, guys that he's, colleagues and or friends with. The other great line he had this week, without that awkward laughter from your Patriots beat brethren.
It's true.
Oh yeah, they laugh at anything.
They laugh at anything. It's almost like it's like a prison camp in there. There's no humor at these press conferences. So anytime anyone says anything with the least bit of levity, it's like deaf comedy jam.
It's the best audience for a stand up in the history of the world.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. If Mrs. Maisel was performing there, it'd be a real hoot. he had another good line. You know, I asked him right after they clinched about, you know, does he have to do anything to erase the potential for any sentiment or anything. And he said, I haven't gotten a check with the Patriots logo on it since 2008. Yeah. So he didn't have any problem removing himself from any of that. Also, the majority of this team was up here 2 years ago as part of an ugly loss after they pulled the upset over the Chiefs. They have all the due respect that everybody in the league should have for who the Patriots are and what they've done and everything. At the same time, I think, realizing that there may be a more realistic opportunity here to pull the upset than there has been for dozens of teams that have come here and lost during the dynasty.
All right, Paul, the one thing, though, is that I'm having a hard time with this whole Ryan Tannehill situation, because on paper, ever since he's been starting, I mean, he's been lights out. You've seen the statistics. One of the best, if not the best quarterback in football since he's been playing and starting for the Titans. But on the other hand,
we saw him all too much for Miami, where he was awful.
Right. It's Ryan Tannehill. So can you convince me one way or the other whether or not this is truly who he is and who he will be in the playoffs? Or is this just, man, this guy got a horseshoe up his butt for the last however many, 12 games.
Yeah, I didn't see as much of Miami as you did. I wasn't watching him twice a year. I saw him only occasionally. But, everything he's done during his time at Tennessee, I assure you, has been real. It's no smoke and mirrors. I mean, 70% and over 9 yards per attempt. The only other two quarterbacks to ever do it, Joe Montana and Sammy Baugh. I mean, you don't sneak yourself onto lists like that. It's just been a perfect confluence. And, you know, maybe there's big regression ahead. I don't think it's this week. I mean, they may lose for sure, but I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to come out and poop the bed and be the guy he's been in Foxborough before, because he's been that guy in Foxborough before. I think this offense is just legit. And, you know, I know the Patriots will focus hard on stopping Derrick Henry and May, but I just think they've actually got some depth of weapons, which is unheard of in Tennessee. It's unheard of for them to have one wide receiver who's good. And A.J. Brown's really good, but then Jonnu Smith, the tight end, is a weapon. And then they've got these other guys who've, you know, made their contribution. Corey Davis isn't what he was last year against Stephon Gilmore, but he'll make some catches for you. And then, you know, I'm working on a piece this morning about these other guys who, you know, are not special players, but have made their plays when the balls come their direction. And I know Belichick on a crucial third and four would probably love to see the Titans throwing to Anthony Firkser or Michael Pruitt or Khalif Raymond or Cody Hollister. And those guys have all generally, you know, made the play when it's come their direction this season. And I don't think under the lights of Foxborough in a big game that they'll panic.
By the way, Corey Davis excelling at Western Michigan. Well, he was there. He was must-watch, baby. Mm-hmm. He had them in a bowl. All right, if the weather is nasty, which it might be, it's supposed to be, who do you think that favors?
Well, you know, I mean, automatically you would say it hurts skill position guys on offense. I guess we would say the Titans certainly have more of those, so it's supposed to favor the Patriots. I don't know, with the running game?
Yeah. Even with Tennessee's running game?
Yeah, probably. I read this phenomenal article about Raymond Berry and Johnny Unitas one time, and about Raymond Berry just making, you know, checking out the field beforehand, knowing there was an icy patch in this certain spot, wearing the exact right shoes. And ever since I read that piece, my attitude about weather is don't slip.
just don't slip. Yeah, and that's
don't,
all of it.
Don't slip.
Because
that's my philosophy.
Because the one thing is that I think that the weather is going to do is, I mean, obviously Derrick Henry being as good as he is and as prolific as he is, it's going to give him a huge game. But I mean, at some point, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to pass, and I don't know whether or not the, you know, the cold of being outside up here and the cold rain, possibly snow. You know, I think that if there's going to be any game where you might see Ryan Tannehill become Ryan Tannehill again, if he has to pass, is going to be this weekend.
Yeah, and I'm kind of granting before it starts a certain degree of the Patriots slowing down Henry, because I'm just looking at all the guys that they've slowed down this year. You know, Zeke and Hopkins and Kelsey and Bell and McLaurin. You know, they generally slow down the guy they're aiming to slow down. And historically, certainly they do. So, you know, I'm not expecting 211 from Henry Saturday night, but, you know, who knows?
Well, so Tannehill's the quarterback of the future no matter what happens this weekend, right? Do you believe so?
I can't see how he's not. And, you know, the collective bargaining agreement this year is one of the things they put in there to try to force them to redo it, is that you have both a transition and a franchise tag. I think they'll reach a long-term agreement with Tannehill, but if they don't, they've got one of those tags to use, and they could conceivably, you know, franchise Tannehill and transition Henry if they had to.
So what's going on with Mariota? Like, I mean, I know that this has got to be tough for him, but...
Tough for him. Who cares? I mean, the guy.
He's been mediocre long enough. Yeah, mediocre.
The guy was absolutely horrific. I mean, this year was just ridiculous, and the offensive transformation is all the more impressive because they were busy getting shut out in Denver and mounting, 60 yards in the first half against mighty Jacksonville and stuff. They had to look at Mariota and be sure that he was or wasn't the guy. They gave him a definitive answer. Now everybody's like, what about Mariota? What about Mariota? Yeah, goes be a free agent, gets a job somewhere where he's a backup, maybe with a chance to start somewhere. These people who absolutely love him because he helped the Titans get out of terribleness, and he's a super, super nice guy, are super, super devoted to him still in Nashville. And I tell them, If you love him, set him free.
Yeah, if he comes back, you know it's true love.
Yeah, and when Brady leaves, Belichick will turn him into a superstar.
That's exactly the kind of quarterback.
More power to him. Listen, I think Bill Belichick, no, I love him like everybody else in terms of what he can do as a football genius. And if he turns Marcus Mariota into a fantastic player, it will be another giant notch on his belt.
Well, Vrabel turned Tannehill into a great player.
I told you I liked Tannehill when he came out.
And there was no evidence that supported you.
He was an athletic freak. Paul Kuhar's.
If you look at Tannehill, his numbers last year, I mean, it's not like he was a pathetic quarterback.
He was never the get-on-my-back, let-me-carry-the-team type of guy.
Top 10 pick.
Right, he was not a guy that like would win a game for you. He was, by all definitions, a game manager.
It's okay. But not great.
So you take him from 15th or 18th in the league, and now he's jumped 10 spots. Yep.
Yeah.
All right, well, he doesn't have Adam Gase. Paul Kuharsky, because I'm a Jet fan.
That's right. The weight is off the leg.
That's great. I can't wait until he develops Darnold. Paul Kuharsky is the co-host of Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville, and you can read his writing at paulkuharsky.com. Thank you so much for the time,
Thanks,
sir.
Man.
Enjoyed it, guys. A lot of fun.
Right, appreciate it. There you go.
We were getting people worried. They said, we have someone with a southern accent talking sports with Fred. And to that I say, it's football, not hockey.
He showed a sense of humor.
Yes.
And did not say that, how did the Carolina turn it around? And they said they started scoring goals. To which I said, that's great. How'd your basketball team turn around? Oh, we made a lot of baskets.
All right. How many yards in between the highest rushing player on the Patriots and the highest rushing player on the Titans?
Oh, Jesus.
How many yards between them?
Henry ran for over 1,500 by himself.
Yeah, and he missed a game.
Yeah.
Let's see. And Sony Michel has probably gone for what? 700?
700, 800, somewhere in there.
It's more than you think.
Well, now that you're selling it.
More than Michelle's run?
It's more than 700, but still, it's 628 yards difference between Sony Michel and Derrick Henry. Sony Michel actually ended the season with 912 yards and 7 touchdowns. Derrick Henry, 16 touchdowns and 1,540 yards.
Well, Michel is great at the goal line. We've learned that. All right. We will be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, there's some, if you're heading down to the bowl, the Super Bowl, and you're a Patriots fan, you must be a little concerned. I know people who've rented condominiums about a month ago. And
it's better than it being in Indianapolis and having to go.
Don't badmouth Indianapolis. If you want to badmouth somewhere, you badmouth Minneapolis or you badmouth.
Minneapolis was fun.
Minneapolis was fun when we were in the city. Minneapolis is a good city. Minneapolis by the Mall of America was not a good city.
But we went to the city a lot.
But the times we were in the city was good.
Any city that has Prince's place where it was Paisley
First
Park.
Avenue? First Avenue, Paisley Park.
Any place that has Paisley Park that you can visit, so that's all right with
me. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
All right, well, at least it's not Phoenix. Which was hell on earth.
That was a bad situation in that we were staying like 10 miles away.
It was two hours behind. They didn't care about anyone in radio. They didn't even have water.
Now you were true.
Yeah.
Do you remember one of my favorite memories, though, of that Super Bowl was the fact that Papa John showed up.
Ugh.
And now you have to remember, at the Super Bowl, you know, we interview Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, like superstars of the NFL. And they come with like one person. Papa John had an entourage of maybe, am I exaggerating when I say a dozen people around him?
No, that is not an exaggeration.
And when he came in, he brought like pies and he put them down on this table. And it was like a group of sharks wearing Hawaiian t-shirts of all the DJs. You ran over there and went,
I was so hungry because they didn't feed us. and I went, there's pizza. And it was all gone. Like, all gone.
And what was great, too, is that we were right next to Boomer's big, gigantic stage. It was like a wrestling ring. And we're literally right next to him. And between us and them was this amazing coffee machine. Now, you remember, we get there at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, no, no. So we got there at like 3:30 in the morning.
We were all up at 3:15.
Yeah, it was extremely early.
Yeah, we went on the air at 4.
We went on the air at 4. So we were there in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, it was great. So fun.
Your body craves coffee. Craves it.
And if you wanted soda, guess what? Pick it up before you get there.
I walked over to the coffee machine and immediately got screamed at by the people from, what was it, CBS or whatever. This coffee's only for Boomer's show. We went, all right, where's the coffee? We had to walk like 5 concourses away to get a coffee. And nothing opens. Like, they think that just like, oh, yeah, morning radio. Yeah, yeah, yeah. East Coast morning radio is like us and Boomer, and that's it. And they had their own coffee machine, and we had nothing.
Yeah, it was, they treated us like crap. We had to get there, and that was crap. And
Houston ruled. Houston was fantastic.
Houston was fun.
Atlanta was great.
Atlanta was fun because I had lived there and had something to do every night. But, yeah.
Minneapolis sucked if you were a Patriots fan because, I mean, just why would you? Don't ever have it in a cold weather city again. Don't do it. That was stupid. I mean,
if you were staying in the city, it would have been fine.
Dude, it was like negative 10.
Yeah, but if you're in the city, it's all connected with those walkways and stuff. Minneapolis is fine. Phoenix is a dump. Never going there again.
To Cooperstown, Alice Cooper's restaurant.
Now, that was like the only good time. That was the only time.
There was a bar right next to the building where the Phoenix Suns play that we went to and had drinks. That was good.
Yeah, but, John, yeah.
A bar and a restaurant.
Like, you leave for a week and memory is like,
a bar,
hey,
and
we
a
went
restaurant.
To a bar. Remember that time we went to that bar?
Yeah.
And sat and talked?
Yeah. Minneapolis. That I got to go ice fishing with Jeremy Roenick, who apparently has said inappropriate things about Catherine Tappan and got suspended.
Depends how she feels about it.
She does not like it. She released a statement. Okay. Said that while she respects Jeremy Roenick and likes him, she thought that was wildly inappropriate.
Okay. Well, that's, I mean, if you're working with someone and they don't like what you said, I mean, that's on you. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. So this year, Miami is the place. And all of the parties are there, including...
Listen, this isn't just some club event.
Yes, the Rob Gronkowski Super Extravaganza.
Well, Polynesian beach performers.
He's a party animal, as we learned yesterday.
He is. He did say he was a party animal. That was the Gronk Beach Festival, including Blau, Carnage, Diplo, Flo Rida, Cascade, and Rick Ross. And that is going to be, as a matter of fact, when I look at all of these different Miami parties, and every year they've got these massive parties that are down there, Gronk's Beach Bash is at the top of most of them.
Ooh.
Like most people are considering Gronk's as being one of the biggest.
Who has anyone gotten the $100,000 package yet where you get Moet?
Can you get a fine brute?
I mean, it's garbage. It's like crap.
Yeah.
For $100,000, they give you just like a $10 bottle of champagne.
The Championship of Partying, a music festival tribute to one of the all-time greats. It's a tribute to him. Let's see if we can get ourselves a table here. The VIP table. Let's see if they've sold out. Oh, wow. You have to put in your credit card info first.
Oh, yeah.
They want to make sure you don't back out of this.
They're not letting you out of there.
If there's a fire festival situation, you are screwed.
Yeah. Of course they want your credit card information. They want you drunk one night going,
And then, of course, the next night or the night before Gronk's, there is Shaq's Funhouse in Miami, in which I'm sure you'll get to see.
I'm the hooper, piper, protected by Viper.
Shaquille O'Neal.
You better decipher. In other words, you better make a funky.
That's going to have.
Booshnickens are going to be there.
Pitbull is going to be there, John.
Let's go.
Favorite.
We're in.
I can't wait to see Pitbull stand there.
Fist pump, fist pump, fist pump.
I haven't even seen him fist pump recently.
Really?
He's in a phone commercial where there's all this dancing going around him, and he does not move. He just stands there, and he only pulls his sunglasses down.
Oh, yeah. That's all he has to do is go, hey there, I'm smooth. I look cool.
Now, is Pitbull... Now, is he popular beyond just endorsing products anymore?
Not that I know of.
Yeah, I mean, I think... I mean, how long... I mean, he's like 60. Sometimes he'll put his hand on his waist.
Dolly! Dolly, Mr. Worldwide!
He is fascinating.
He is. I mean, he is. And then, this is strange to me. The other big one that's going to be down there is the Maxim party. Do they still make Maxim magazine?
They don't even have it at the airport anymore.
Like, is that and I'm not trying to be like, honestly, are they? How are they not out of business?
I don't know, because that was my go-to when I wanted to see hot-clothed babes.
Sure. If you like girls that are fully clothed, then why not check out Maxim magazine?
And throw your computer out the window.
What's amazing is that they've obviously spent the most money of anyone, because the Chainsmokers are headlining their party.
Yeah, they always have a big party, Maxim.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not around anymore. How do they afford? Like, EA Sports always has a massive party, but EA Sports is worth like $1 billion.
I don't know. The guys from Maxim, you know, they Maxim relax.
I guess so. I guess they're Maxim. But I don't know how they're able to afford all of that. What I mean, is that still a thing?
I don't know. The glossy magazine industry, not that big anymore.
See, if you're a true high roller, you're going to the Chad Ochocinco Johnson Celebrity Super Slam, where you have such huge...
Yeah? Yes. You caught my attention.
Not that kind of super. It's not SummerSlam. It's a Super Slam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have
the Million Dollar Man did.
Such superstars as Caesar from the Black Ink Crew.
Big John Studd.
A1 Bentley from Love and Hip Hop LA. You've got Ace Hood, and which is great, is that underneath that label him has a rapper entertainer. Just in case you didn't know.
Junkyard Dog.
No, not Junkyard Dog. I don't think he's... Is he still alive? I'm not quite sure. Is he?
In my heart.
Okay. You're going to have Peter Warwick, FSU great.
You're going to... I remember Warwick. Was it Peter Warwick, though? I'm thinking Warwick Dunn.
Peter you're thinking Warwick Davis, who played the little person in Willow, who's also inside of R2-D2 and was Leprechaun in space.
Yeah. That was spooky.
Leprechaun in space?
Yeah. How are you going to get down from there?
He was also this guy. I believe he was Wicket the Ewok as well.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, if you're a Patriots fan, you can sell your Super Bowl tickets. It's not too late. Especially if you get a matchup like Kansas City against New Orleans. But the Kansas City fans probably travel.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And New Orleans isn't far from Miami, relatively speaking.
Those are two teams with massive fan bases.
You know what I say? Who dat?
Stop.
Who dat? Who dat?
That's what Antonio Brown was saying until he said it was all a publicity stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? Antonio Brown went and did a workout for them, brought like a ton of camera guys to film it. Everyone around him said it was a complete crap show that he did that, and then now he's accusing the Saints of it being a publicity stunt.
No, that's the kind of publicity you want. Let's get a guy who can't make any other team because of his drama in his life. All right, Rich, we have what?
Okay. In the stack, we just received one of the best hot takes in a long time.
All right.
The police will have to be called.
All right. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. That psychic story that Rich, we did a bit on earlier. She's on the TV right now. She ain't too hard on the eye.
I told you, she's a fairly attractive.
I would say she's more than fairly. I mean, what town's she from?
Oh, what was it?
Somerset.
Somerset, yeah.
That's got to
be
like a Somerset 8.
Well, something like that is kind of scary because you know how obviously messed up in the head that I would assume that she would be to try to charge somebody $70,000 to take a demon out of her child. It's always scary. Remember that one woman who left, I think it was like 10,000 voicemails or sent 10,000 texts to that guy that she was obsessed with and ended up like you know, stalking the guy and she got arrested and she goes, I want you to be with me. And like, she was like freaking out over the dude. Like, she was good looking.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, like, you want them to be kind of scary and ugly, so you kind of, the alarm goes off.
I mean, that happens to me every time I bet a woman. Like, Freddie, tea, can I please have some more sugar?
Uh-huh. Well,
I say, hit the bricks. I'm free as a bird.
Well, this comes courtesy of Michael Hurley. It's not his take, but he is at least
he's drummed something up.
He has.
Because I'll tell you, I had him on Monday, and he was...
Yep.
He was very disappointing because he thought I was challenging his journalistic integrity.
Oh, really?
By calling him like a fanboy.
It's fighting words for Hurley.
No.
But I didn't mean it in a mean way. I just said, like, how you spinning this loss? I mean, is it the officiating? And he goes, I shoot from the hip.
What are you doing there, Fred? He was the best person to have on after the whole videotaping thing. That was great.
Yeah, because, well, he digs and digs and digs, and so now he has found someone who to wave his finger at.
This didn't really need to be dug up. This is legitimately stupid, and it's something that I would have even laughed at, too. But, I mean, but Hurley is the guy who does it, but he found one that was just like, I mean, yeah. It's like a zit right in the middle of the face of the hot take police. This is from Bart Scott, of course. And I don't have the audio. We're trying to find it, but about 10 minutes ago, Bart Scott was on television, and the question was, who will be the Patriots' starting quarterback next season?
Oh, I saw this, yes.
His answer? Andy Dalton.
Yep.
Hot take police.
Bring him on in.
You're a moron.
And Dalton will go 11-5.
But listen, Dalton took when he came in and he started starting, he won two games, baby.
What if Dalton is a Tannehill? What if just because he's been with awful coaches most of his entire life, what if he's like the most naturally gifted quarterback out there and could have been a superstar, but he was ruined by crap coaches?
It's happened.
Well, I mean,
yeah. Talent can never. This is a thing I tell my my players when we're taking on the California teams. I say, good talent can never overcome bad coaching.
Did you see Dez Bryant retweeting somebody wrote this thing? Jason Garrett has wasted the primes of the following players, mm-hmm. and it was like all of these guys, and Dez Bryant retweeted.
He's one of them. Yeah, don't forget me.
He's like, yeah. I'm one of the guys whose primes you wasted.
Yeah.
Boy, isn't it funny? So Jason Garrett's fired as of this morning. They're going to let him go. But, I mean, you should hear the way that they talk about it on ESPN. It's like Ed Werder's like, you know, it was tough because they're a family. They're family in Dallas, and they treat each other like family, and they don't want to let family just walk away. I'm like, just shut up. He was fired. They let him go.
Well, no. In fairness, the reason that he stuck around so long is that my wife's asking if I want to go to a spin class tonight. The answer is no. And so, but the reason he kept him around and the reason he took 3 days, well, there's a cynical way of looking at it, and then there's probably the truth.
Because the cynical way is that Jason Garrett has dark secrets about Jerry Jones.
The only way it's possible.
That wasn't one of my theories. Okay. One theory is that he wants to show prospective coaches that, hey, look at how much I care about my guys. But there is everyone who covers that team says that Garrett's extremely close to the Jones family. And that this has actually been difficult for Jerry Jones to do.
You know who gets
which
along?
I believe.
You know who is really good friends with Jason Garrett? Bill Belichick.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Matter of fact, all the time you hear stories about the two of them. They both have a place on Nantucket.
And McDaniels leaves. McDaniels leaves. Guess who the new Patriots offensive coordinator could be?
Ooh, yay.
Yeah, and then if you're Garrett, maybe you take that job and you wait around because you can clean like your palate,
mm-hmm.
and then you wait around for Bill to retire.
What's going on with the Giants, though? Didn't they say that they wanted Jason Garrett?
I wouldn't touch him right now. Got to give the guy some time as an assistant.
Jason Garrett, I think, was 85-67 in his 9 years.
He was coach of the year 2 years ago?
Second longest tenured head coach in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, and he won, that's not really fair because Tom Landry coached there for 45 years. But
did he win coach of the year 3 years ago? Like in 2016, didn't Jason Garrett win that?
Did they win three playoff games?
Two, I think.
Two in his time there. One was Romo's fault, but yes.
I do remember that. Well, speaking of the NFL season, we now know the teams that are qualified to be potential candidates for next year's Hard Knocks.
I didn't watch Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks in the past 2 years was, well, this one was a little disappointing. It was still good because it was the Oakland Raiders. But the Antonio Brown stuff was fairly interesting. And they didn't do
enough of it, but yes.
And there wasn't enough Mark Davis, right. And there wasn't enough Gruden, but it was still interesting. The year before, the Cleveland Browns one was unbelievable. Yeah, and it had, of course, your man Bob Wiley. But here are the teams that could be candidates for Hard Knocks, and there's at least two of them that would be interesting. Let's start with the uninteresting ones. Denver Broncos, nobody cares. Arizona Cardinals, nobody cares.
You get to see Arian's cool fat guy hats.
And I truly hope that they don't pick the Jacksonville Jaguars because they think Gardner Minshew is going to be like this character and do the whole thing.
I just want to see Shad Khan. I want to see Ron Jeremy go do his thing.
You think Shad Khan's going to want to get like, he's going to be like, someone's going to protect the owner like they did with Mark Davis. Someone's going to step in and say they're not going to put him out there.
Just have him on the phone to London. I've got to have the franchise there in 3 years.
Mark, Chef Boyardee's on line five. Baylor Chef.
But here's the two ones that would be really fun to watch. One of them was a candidate last year, and that's the Detroit Lions, because I would love to see Matt Patricia trying to, because he would hate having the cameras there. Yeah. Absolutely hate it. And his jobs, this is a make or break year.
Yes, he will be fired if they're not in
the playoff. Did they win after Stafford got hurt? I don't think they did.
I don't know.
I think they finished like 3-12-1 or something like that. I think they were 0-8 after Stafford got hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
But this
is the window. The organization feels that this is the window for Stafford, and he's got like 2 years.
Yeah.
And that they have to at least show promise. Plus, they're going to draft a quarterback who they'll inevitably ruin. Eric Hipple's coming back, I've been told.
And another one that would be interesting to me, and this is one that's almost never on this list, the Pittsburgh Steelers. They qualify for Hard Knocks this year. And that would be
the return. That would be annoying. Because Tomlin's like such a hard ass, that would just bother me.
I don't know why. Part of me, it's not even for comedy reasons. I wouldn't mind seeing the behind the scenes of the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know what I mean?
Like Tomlin theoretically could be on his way out.
Because
these years.
No way. Because it's too good of an organization to let Hard Knocks in. That's why.
Yeah.
Is that it's like this? You don't see a team this good or run this well have the cameras behind the scenes. And maybe that would make for bad television, but for the first time, I'm almost more fascinated in the football side of things than I would be in just the cluster F of what the season could be. Because if you want cluster Fs, you go Detroit Lions. There's no question.
That's the thing. Detroit would be number one. And you shook off Arizona. I wouldn't mind seeing Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who was not even a good college coach, is now taking over an NFL franchise, and they were better this year than they were last year.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
I don't know.
Detroit and Arizona would be my two.
He's got that stupid face.
And Kyler Murray seems like there's no drama.
Then we can't use him.
Cliff Kingsbury's got that stupid
face.
We can't use him then.
No, I don't want to look at his face.
Who has the stupidest face in the NFL coaching? Stupidest face. Oh, well, Kitchens is gone. His face. Oh, Adam Gase. He's got this, of course, the goofy eyes.
I can never figure out who's, who does he coach? The college coach. They were in the playoff. Oh, boy. Not LSU.
LSU's got the best voice.
Ed Orgeron? The LSU head coach?
No, not him. Who's the guy who wears, like, the gray sweatshirt? And he just looks like, is it Ohio State?
Ryan Day.
And he just looks like some dude.
Is this Ogeron right here?
Yeah, he looks.
Hey, congratulations. Yeah. How does a kid growing up in Lafourche Parish, way down deep in the bayou, known for great shrimp and oysters, get to live the dream? Coaching LSU, number one, and now coach of the year.
Just so fortunate. I thank God first. I thank my wonderful family. I thank his great players. They gave so much to this football team and a great assistant coach.
I saw this guy in The Mandalorian.
Wasn't this guy on The Blind Side? Wasn't this the guy who ultimately recruited Michael Orr to go to Mississippi? Ed Orgeron?
I know you.
Sounds like him.
You spent a lot of money on that. You spent a lot of time on that Blind Side.
Especially when you say, Bahamada.
Just, I accept this for a whole coach of staff. These guys come to work at 4.
Hey, Skitty Odo. By the way, Adam Sandler is in the movie Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems just now joining a list of the most F-bombs in movie history. It is at number 7 on the list. It has 408 F-bombs in the movie Uncut Gems, or 3 a minute.
I was counting, and I got 430.
3 a minute in Uncut Gems.
Yeah, they swear a lot.
All right, I want to see that movie still. Because the F-bombs, it means they're like bad boys.
Yeah, it means that, that they're swearing a lot. Go in with lesser expectations.
Well, I can't because I've heard of great things about it. So, by the way, if you would like to know which movies have the most F-bombs in it. The first two we'll just take off the table because you've never heard of it. SwearNet, the movie, that's 935.
Fart, the movie.
No, but there's one called F-U and then that, a documentary on that word that has 857. But the highest legitimate movie.
Pulp Fiction.
No, not Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction's not even in the top 10. There are one,
is it
two,
a Scorsese movie?
There's two. Oh, I think, yeah, two Scorsese movies.
Okay, well, Goodfellas.
Nope.
Not Casino.
Yep, number six.
Oh. Oh, Mean Streets?
Nope. There is an Oliver Stone movie on here, too. I think this is Oliver
Natural
Stone.
Natural Born Killers?
No. Summer of Sam is number four. Movie called Nil by Mouth is five. Casino, number six. Uncut Gem, seven. Straight Out of Compton, number eight. Hmm. Number nine, Alpha Dog. Number 10, End of Watch. And number three, which essentially is number one because the other two aren't movies anyone's heard of, The Wolf of Wall Street.
Alpha Dog?
Coming with 569 yes. movies.
Was Alpha Dog the one with Justin Timberlake?
Yes, I think it was.
That is an underrated film.
It's good
is
movie.
It?
Yeah, it's a decent okay. movie.
Underrated film. It.
Yeah, not bad.
I mean, like, don't go out and buy it.
Okay.
But if you're ever like watching TV and it comes on. There's worse ways to spend 90 minutes.
Not a bad film.
But I am telling you, Uncut Gems was good, but don't go in thinking you're going to see the greatest film of all time.
Oh, SwearNet was the Trailer Park Boys when they couldn't be the Trailer Park Boys. They made a movie called SwearNet, the movie, someone's telling me.
Okay. Well, the Trailer Park Boys per episode of their television show, it's got to be at least two F-bombs a minute. Or S, the S word, because oh, okay. Leahy just, one of the jokes in his, like, Randy, there's going to be an S storm. Or, you know, sometimes you got to plant an S seedling and watch it grow and mature into an S plant. So that's, there's a lot of swearing. All right, we'll be back. I just got a nice massage from Scott Zolak, and he will be in just a moment.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I got a nice massage from Scotty Z.
Welcome back, Scott Zolak.
It's good to see you guys.
Good to see you,
How's
too.
How's your New Year's?
It was fine.
Nice.
Good. How about you?
Great.
It's good to
see you. So you were down there in Florida?
I was down there for a little bit.
Yeah?
Came back, well, we came back Sunday.
Went and saw my family, my wife, and came back from the bathroom at a restaurant I was at, and my wife was sitting next to my mother, and all of a sudden, my mom looks at me as if like, oh, stop the conversation. I'm like, what's going on?
What does that mean?
The last word I heard was prostate before I sat down. I said, what's going on? I was like, well, you have been going to the bathroom a lot, and I'm just worried about your prostate. Have you had it checked? We're at dinner with like my entire family, and she's saying that.
Does that mean you pee a lot?
Yeah, it means you get up and pee a lot. And to that, I said, have you been writing down how much I've been using the bathroom? She goes, I'm not writing it down, but I noticed you went three times when you were at Gary's house. And since we've been here, we first got there. I'm like, you're monitoring how much I'm using the bathroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she goes, yes. And I said, do you really want to be honest? 100% honest? We went to the Golden Corral last night, and I have the squirts. You're the one who brought it up. You want to make you ever... Oh, Richard!
What would ever make you go to Golden Corral?
It was quick. And I didn't mind the Golden Corral. I used to see the Golden Corral all the time. It was like really quick. And
we used
just
to
had
go,
to get rolling.
I swear to God, we used to go when our kid was a baby. The first one was a baby. We used to go to Old Country Buffet in Walpole.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly where that is.
Because it was quick and easy and the food was there.
Yep.
And
yep.
the baby would just eat ice cream and mashed potatoes and just sit.
You don't need great. You just need acceptable.
Serviceable.
And fast.
Yeah. Hey.
Yep.
I mean, if there's enough salt and pepper on the table, that's a hell of a meal. Meatloaf, mashed potatoes, corn, salad bar, bread.
Yeah.
It's like any old diner.
You can't really screw up mac and cheese.
Yeah, you could.
Did you guys have ponderosas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. With the stick in the steak? Yeah, the little colored stick in the steak?
Went. Did you have steak and ale?
Yes.
Yeah. Steak and ale.
It's a big Pittsburgh thing. And we would go to Ponderosa every Sunday after church with Grandma and Grandpa, but we didn't want to spend too much money. So everybody ordered the ground beef dinner because it was the best value. It was like burger patty.
And you got the salad bar with it.
You still got salad bar.
Yeah, yeah. Great idea. We used to do the same thing. Except we had a place called, you at Sizzler. I mean, Sizzler was...
Sizzler. There's another one, too.
Those aren't around anymore, are they?
We didn't have Sizzlers.
We didn't have Sizzler.
Yeah.
Didn't have them here, either. Nope.
Steak and Ale.
Steak and Ale, baby. There was one in Atlanta, too.
There was one called Bonanza, too, which was essentially Ponderosa.
It was the same thing.
Yeah.
Sizzler, yeah.
No,
Sizzler was like a cheap Ponderosa. Ponderosa was like, that was the best.
Sizzler was like a cheap
Ponderosa. I love Ponderosa. You could slide the tray on the three grooves.
Max and Irma's.
And when you go right down, Max and Irma's. Yeah. You must have lived in Pittsburgh, dude.
I tell you, I would F up a Shoney's breakfast buffet right now, too.
Oh, dude, I used to eat there all the time. That was my favorite.
Shoney's, Denny's. Oh, my God.
Well, Shoney's had a buffet. They had French toast sticks, too.
Oh, yeah.
It was like $4.99, I think.
Denny's, the unfortunate part of Denny's is that it makes me feel really good to be there. It's like almost too euphoric.
One of those about 3 miles from my house, man. Denny's.
The same thing with IHOP. Oh, boy.
Yep. Mm. If there was a place that offered a free kids meal with an adult purchase, we went. Like,
oh, yeah.
There was a place called Po' Folks I told you about.
Po' Folks, yeah. Has it.
No, I remember like, they called it Po' Folks. So basically, if you eat here, you're poor. They just label you as you walk in, and sure enough, we used to eat there all the time because you get one adult meal and all the kids ate free. So my mom would order, like, carrots. And we would just kill it.
Carrots. Here's what we got. We got Burt Breer first 2 hours. Phil Perry will be in for an hour after that. Pretty much all football.
All right.
All right.
Nervous?
Yeah, I'm nervous.
You too.
Well, yeah. Don't. You're a great broadcaster. Don't be so nervous.
No,
about
I'll have a great broadcast, but I mean, I can't be nervous.
You've been here for so long. Don't be nervous.
I don't
about
like
your
elimination
show.
Games.
Don't be nervous about your show. You'll do great.
I'm not nervous about the show.
Well, you just said I asked you if you're nervous, and you said a little bit. I said, "What do you got to be nervous about? You just be yourself." All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone, have a joyous weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.